Hare Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare. Gopi Jana Balabha Gide Varadade. Gopi Jana Balabha Gide Varadade. Yasoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare. Gopi Jana Balabha Gide Varadade. Gopi Jana Balabha Gide Varadade. Yasoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana. Yasoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Nithai Gaura Chandra, Nithai Gaura Chandra, Nithai Gaura Chandra, Nithai Gaura Chandra. Nithai Gaura Chandra, Nithai Gaura Chandra, Nithai Gaura Chandra, Nithai Gaura Chandra. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa. Sri Bhadragatarya Ushtatara Satasri Srimad, His Divine Grace, ISKCON Founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vindaki, Namshar Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Premzagaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gokabinas Samakunda Radha Kunda Kiri Govardhan Ki, Vrindavan Dham ki, Mathura Dham ki, Navadvip Mayapur Dham ki, Ganga Jamuna Mai ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Tulsi Maharani ki, His Divine Grace ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki, Dear Lordship Sri Siddhai Gaura Chandra ki, Sri Sri Lakshmi Narasinghe Dev ki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Guru and Garanga. Nila. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 11, entitled Swayam Bhuvamanu Advises Dhruva Maharaj. This is text number 32. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
And bring warm water. It's too cold.
Yena Parishtat
Purushal
Loka Udvijate Vrisham na buddhas tad vasham gached ichan havayam atmana yeno pashrishtat purushal loka udvijate vrisham na buddhas tad vasham gached Ichan abhyam atmanaha Yeno pashristat purusha Loka udvijate brisham Na buddhas tadvasham gached Ichan abhyam atmanaha Upashristat
Being overwhelmed.
Purushat.
By the person.
Loka.
Everyone.
Udvijate.
Becomes terrified.
Brisham.
Greatly.
Na.
Never.
Buddha.
A learned person.
Tat.
Of anger.
Vasham.
Under the control.
Gachet
should go.
Ichan
desiring.
Habayam
fearlessness. And also liberation.
Atmana
of the self. Translation. A person who desires liberation from this material world should not fall under the control of anger, because when bewildered by anger, one becomes a source of dread for others. You can repeat. A person who desires liberation,
from this world,
should not fall under the control,
of anger,
because when bewildered by anger,
one becomes a source of dread for others.
Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. A devotee or saintly person should not be dreadful to others, nor should anyone be a source of dread to him. If one treats others with non-enmity, then no one will become his enemy. There is the example, however, of Jesus Christ, who had enemies, and they crucified him. The demoniac are always present, and they find fault even in saintly persons. But a saintly person never becomes angry, even if there is very great provocation.
Oma gyanti medandasya ginangina shilakaya chaksuru militam jena tasmai sigurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya manovishtam shtapitam yena bhutale shvayam rupakadamayam dadantishva padantikam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanandasya Dvaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivrindam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Om Mam Hrim Shrom Om Farom Tatakah Dekake Shigadilat Padakalochana Benhadakanaka Sparsadiva Singha Namoshtite. Yeno Pashtrish Tat Purushal Loka Udvijate Burisham Nabhudas Tad Vasham Gachet Ichan Habayam Atmanaha. A person who desires liberation from this material world should not fall under the control of anger, because when bewildered by anger, one of course becomes a source of dread for others. So, again, Swayam Bhuva Manu is instructing Dhruva Maharaj in the process of devotional service and mentioning the qualities of a devotee. So this verse specifically says that a person who desires to be liberated, in other words, a devotee, we're speaking of devotee, should not fall under the control of anger, because when one is bewildered by anger, one is a source of dread or great anxiety for others. So Vaishnava, by definition, is one for whom no one is put into distress. That is the definition of a devotee. We've quoted many times the verse the last few days. Tatikshava krunika suridam sarvadehinam. Suridam sarvadehinam. This means that a devotee is a friend of every living entity. Tatikshava krunika suridam sarvadehinam. Ajata sattavasanta. This means that actually he has no enemies and he's peaceful. So this is the nature of a devotee. He is one for whom no one is put into distress. And this is mentioned in relationship to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Dhira dhira janapriyo priyakaro nirmatsaro pujito. That they were like an ocean of love of God. And as a result, they were popular both with the gentle and with the ruffians, because they were never envious of anyone. This is specifically mentioned about the six Goswamis. They were popular both with the gentle and with the ruffians, because they were never envious of anyone. So a devotee actually causes distress to no one. But a materialistic person, he's always a source of anxiety for others. And why is that? Why is a materialistic person always a source of anxiety? Even one's closest family members, even one's most beloved, how are they sources of anxiety? Because sense gratification, by nature, is always at the expense of others. That's the nature of sense gratification. Prabhupada gave the definition of love in this material world. I love you because you can satisfy my senses better than anyone else. It's very selfish. Actually, it's not love. It's called lust. They have a saying, love makes the world go round. But it's not love which makes the world go round. It's lust. And lust is a very self-centered, selfish expression. It has nothing to do with love. The real definition of love can only be understood in the spiritual world. And Prabhupada said the best of all devotees are the gopis, because the gopis are always thinking how to satisfy Krishna. And he told the story that once Lord Krishna said he had a headache. So Narada Muni was assigned to get the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Lord, because Krishna said, only the dust of the feet of my devotee will actually cure my headache. So Narada Muni went to different devotees throughout the three worlds and requested, please will you give some dust from your feet because Lord Krishna has a headache. But the devotees, being full of knowledge, understood that to give the dust of our feet to Krishna is a great offense. And to do something like that, you'd go to hell. You give the dust of your feet. Actually, a devotee should not touch his feet to any other devotee. It's not proper. So, no devotees would give. No, I'll go to hell. But then, Narada Muni went to the gopis and said, my dear gopis, your Lord has a headache, and if you give the dust of your feet, it will be relieved. So the gopis said, yes, take immediately. So Narada said, but If I take the dust of your feet and put it on the Lord's head, you'll go to hell. And Gopi said, that's all right. We'll go to hell as long as Krishna's headache is satisfied. So Prabhupada described that the gopis were the greatest lovers of Krishna because they had no personal consideration, no selfish consideration. They just wanted to see to the pleasure of the Lord. This is the definition of love.
So the counter opposite of that is in the material world, where everyone is thinking about his own sense gratification and no one is thinking about the Lord, about Vishnu. So they call it love, but actually it's lust. There's nothing more than lust. And it is always at the expense of others. I love you only because you can satisfy my senses. And once that principle is no longer applicable, that you can satisfy my senses very, very nicely, then there's divorce. That's why in America, 2 out of 3 marriages end in divorce. 2 out of 3. So where's the love? It's lust. As soon as there's one gets a little bit older, as soon as there's some disturbance in the sense gratification, then immediately there's separation, there's divorce. But a devotee, I know no one except Krishna as my Lord, and he should always remain as such. Even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before him, he's always my worshipful Lord, unconditionally. Just like here in Australasia, when we say this prayer in the morning, the devotees put this emphasis, unconditionally. I've noticed that. Unconditionally. So no conditions. But the material world, there's so many conditions. As soon as there's some break in the bargain, then there's immediately separation. And that sense gratification is always at the expense of others. If I want some sense gratification, that means somebody else has to suffer. That's Prabhupada's definition of violence. Violence doesn't just necessarily mean that you cause some bodily harm to somebody. Violence means you cheat that person of his valuable time in the human form of life. That's real violence. If you have a relationship with somebody and it's not based on Krishna consciousness, you're not relating in a Krishna conscious way as husband and wife, father and son, business associate and business associate, whatever it may be. If you're not engaging in a Krishna conscious relationship, you are cheating that person of his valuable human form. You are doing the greatest violence to that person. By engaging in sense gratification with that person, just taking advantage of his or her association to satisfy your own personal senses, you are not only doing yourself harm, but you are also cheating that person of very valuable time to be used. That is the definition of violence. Not just, you know, you hit somebody or whatever. Janaka Pandit said that human form of life is so important that one cannot buy back even 1 second of human life for all the gold in the world. That's how he compared it. So every second of human life is meant to be utilized in the service of the Lord. And if you're engaging in some sense gratification, even as devotees, if we're engaging in prajalpa, we're doing violence to our god brothers and god sisters. If we're not speaking about Krishna or devotional service related to Krishna, we're just, you know, speaking some nonsense, prajalpa, and that's mentioned in the Upanishadamrita, because, you know, of our conditioning, we do have a tendency to talk prajalpa. Prajalpa means gramakata. Gramakata. What does gramakata mean? Gramakata means village talk. Oh, did you hear such and such? No. Yes, and she? Really? You know. Gramakata. And did they got a new house? And oh, no. And you, what happened to their kid? And you, oh. You know, so the gramakata, rumors, prajalpa, this type of course, probably doesn't even exist here, but anyway. So this is gramakata. This is wasting. We're actually cheating each other. We're doing the greatest. You could not do something more damaging to someone than to fill their brain with so many nonsense things. So living in a community, we have great responsibility. Actually, each member of the community has a very important responsibility, not only to his own self for advancing in Krishna consciousness, but to all the other members of the community as well. Because each member, of course, is part of the whole. And if the whole will be healthy if each individual part is healthy. So in Krishna consciousness, we cannot deny this. We get the mercy of the Vaishnavas by living in association with us. We've been saying, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra, lava matra, sadhu sangha. Live in the association of devotees, but don't bite the hand that feeds you. Know that we have a responsibility to our god brothers and god sisters to be Krishna conscious. So we don't want to cheat each other of our valuable time. Rather, if we're Krishna conscious, we encourage each other. That's the beauty of living in the association of devotees, that there's so many devotees doing devotional service, and we become so inspired by their Krishna consciousness. Even if you're having a little trouble, if you live in the association of devotees and you see them chanting, dancing, serving unconditionally, doing so nicely, then immediately it picks you up. That's why Prabhupada said, anyone who thinks he can become Krishna conscious living outside the association of devotees, he's living in hallucination. It is not possible. It is not possible. But if we live in the association of devotees, we'll always be enlivened. But we must give, we must take, and we must give Krishna conscious association. Then it's a healthy life. But karmis are just the opposite. They're always taking, taking, taking. They're simply taking sense gratification from others. So where's the question of love? It is a very nasty, therefore it's so full of anxiety in material life. If you think back on your past, you can think that even the most loving relationships were full of this lust and selfish consideration. And how is that observed sometimes? Even our beloved parents, with all due respect. Sometimes we see that a devotee, the parents appear to really love the child. So then the child decides to become a devotee, and the parents feel some distress. Oh, you're going to become a devotee. Because, as we were mentioning the other day, the parents want to see their children become like them and become sense enjoyers, etc. So that when they become devotees, which is in the best interest of them and everyone, the parents, feeling some disturbance at their sense gratification, their ideal of how they want their children to be, they're disturbed. So this is not real love. This is lust. So a devotee is someone who is not like that. Rather, as the Christians say, it's better to give than to receive. That is our principle. They're always taking. Every time a karmi looks at something, he's analyzing that situation, how he can get sense gratification. Just like Prabhupada once described the mentality of a materialistic woman, that she's speaking to one man, looking at another, and thinking of yet another. This is the epitome of selfish consideration. Not only a woman, also a man in the material world, they're thinking like that. They're speaking to one person, oh yes, we can do like this and we will enjoy. And meanwhile, looking at another, perhaps better there. And thinking of yet another, maybe over there. But very selfish. Whereas a devotee, because he's self-satisfied, he has no material desires. Krishna bhakta nishkama ata eva shanta bhukti mukti siddhikam akaleya shanta. Krishna bhakta nishkama. Devotee has no material desires. Krishna bhakta nishkam ata eva shanta, therefore he's peaceful. Devotee is very peaceful. He is not disturbed by material desires. So he's not in this competitive spirit of, you know, we're going to fight for sense gratification. My country will fight your country and I'll fight you. None of this. He has no friends and no enemies. He sees every living entity equally. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gavi hastini sunichaiva sapakicha pandita samadarshanaha. He sees every living entity equally. He sees every living entity as my brother and sister because we have one common father, Krishna. So he relates to them accordingly. He's always seeing. Whenever he sees someone, he's seeing, what can I give them? Not what can I take from them. Karmi's always thinking, yes, let's develop a nice relationship because out of this relationship, I can get this from you. Remember? It was so distressful, material life. Even our best friends, you know, as we became devotees, we began to see who our real friends were. They just wanted to take from us. But as soon as we came into the association of devotees, we could sense they just want to give to me. As we were saying the other day, Lord Chaitanya is making no conditions. Take this Maha Mantra. Take this love of God. Just take it. So that's Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is always, just like karmis are always scheming, you know, how sense gratification, you know. So Prabhupada said, tax your brains how to preach this movement. That's the proper principle. They're always taxing their brains how to exploit others. And those who are the best exploiters, they make it to the top. They become leaders. What kind of leaders are they? They're rascals, they're rogues, they're cheaters. They're at the top so they can exploit the others. Just like recently in Romania, you know the history, how there was a revolution, a civil revolution within the last few months. And the people would no longer tolerate their so-called beloved leader. His picture was everywhere. Our beloved leader, they called him. They had to call him the beloved leader. But when actually he was toppled down and he was killed, then they went into his private bank accounts and his house and his various holdings, and they saw how he was simply enjoying at the expense of the people. So this is the... Prabhupada would always speak very strongly against the leaders. When I first joined Krishna consciousness, you know, coming with a little bit of the hippie philosophy, you know, all is love and we all love each other and everything, I was always, you know, why is Prabhupada speaking so strong against the Mayavadis? And why is he so heavy on the leaders, calling them rascals? Prabhupada said, I am not calling, Krishna is calling. Avajananti mamudha. Prabhupada said, very humbly, he said, I am not saying you are Muddha. Krishna is saying you are Muddha. You can use that in Vedic circles. I mean, in the West, it's a little difficult. You know, I am not saying Krishna. Well, anyway, whoever it is, you can't call me a... The Prabhupada was very heavy against the leaders of society who were taking the position of exploiting the people. But the principle was there from A to Z. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, materialistic life means, I invite you, put your head on my lap. Come on. Put your head in my lap. Okay, that's all right. That's enough. You take out a razor, you cut the throat. That's probably that definition. You put your head in my lap and I cut your throat. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati put it very nicely, a society of the cheaters and the cheated. And sometimes they're not so subtle. There was a circus man in America, his name was Barnum Bailey. And he has a very famous statement in America. There's a sucker born every minute. Not only is there a sucker born every minute, but there's a person there to exploit him. The society of the cheaters and the cheated. So Prabhupada has saved us from this hellish condition. Saved us from cheating others, and saved others from cheating us. By coming into the association of the devotees who are para-dukkha-dukkhi. Devotees by definition, para-dukkha-dukkhi. Para-dukkha-dukkhi means that he's very aggrieved to see the sufferings of others. What to speak about not putting others into distress? What to speak of that? A devotee doesn't do anything to put people in distress. He doesn't relate to people on the level of sense gratification. Therefore, he doesn't put them into distress. That's one thing. That's glorious. Actually, any person desiring liberation from this world should know this principle, not putting others into distress to begin with. But what is the specific quality of a Vaishnava, a devotee? Para-dukkha-dukkhi. That he is very aggrieved to see the sufferings of others. And what is his happiness? His happiness is to relieve the sufferings of others. A first-class man can never be happy as long as anyone else is suffering. If you're enjoying and others around you are suffering, then what kind of madness is this? There was once a movie, before I became a devotee, there's a movie producer called Fellini. I don't know if you know Fellini. He does all these kind of bizarre movies. And he did this one movie. He's not a self-realized soul, but he's got a little bit of a insight into things. So there was this one movie, and it was about Italy. And this one person was driving along, enjoying himself like anything, drinking wine and eating bread and cheese, and he had his girlfriend in his arm, and he had his little Camaro sports car, and he was just enjoying like anything. But every 10 or 20 meters, there was an automobile accident, a terrible, horrible automobile accident. And he just kept driving past all these horrible scenes of, you know, it was a horrible movie, but, you know, different crashes and people crying and different modes of suffering and distress. And, you know, he very expertly unfolded this movie of seeing different scenes of suffering. But all the while, this person is just going along completely oblivious of the sufferings of others and just enjoying himself, you know, drinking his wine and laughing with his girlfriend and, you know, seeing it but not relating to it. So the whole point of this movie was that people are very selfish. Although other people are suffering, they continue to think they can enjoy. But of course, not being a devotee, Fellini didn't know the actual conclusion of such a movie. That, you know, a devotee, when he sees someone in distress, he's not happy. Actually, a devotee cannot be happy until he sees others relieved from distress. And our happiness is actually preaching Krishna consciousness, relieving others of distress. That's our happiness, you know. Just like we have kirtan in the temple. That's very nice. But it's really nice when there's guests there. And then you get the guests into the kirtan, right? Sometimes with brahmacharis are dancing around, like the other day I said to Neela, I said, get the guessing. And then when we see the guessing, you hear, Haribo! There's this tumultuous roar from the assembled devotees when they see, you know, some guest just plucked out of the material energy and just dancing in the sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya. So this is our happiness. Actually, as we mentioned a few days ago, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, a preacher has life. Preacher's living. They are relating to matter, therefore they're dead. All they know is this body, squeeze the flesh, you know. What kind of reciprocation, what kind of enjoyment can you get from just squeezing some skin and bones? But you will get pleasure by engaging in the eternal service of the Lord. And what is that service? Krishna Varnan Tusha Krishnam Shangopanga Shaparshadam Yagnai Sankirtan Paya Jantihi Sumedasaha. A family that prays together stays together. So there's lots of kirtan, lots of dancing, lots of prasadam, and lots of preaching. You have one happy family. Because that's life. And ananda buddhi bharavanam. Krishna consciousness is blissful when it's expanding. So the more we can bring people into the fold of Krishna consciousness, the more we can expand the family of Krishna, reclaim all the fallen conditioned souls, the more blissful it will become. That's the real way to decorate Nitai Gaura Chandra. And we're dressing them with beautiful jewels and nice clothes, beautiful flower garlands. But what's another way to decorate their beautiful temple? Bring so many bhaktas here. Make new devotees. Preach, bring them here. That will give great pleasure to Nitai Gaura Chandra. That is their instruction. You preach Krishna consciousness everywhere. So devotees always taking this opportunity. Just like a karmi is taking out, he's always analyzing. Get some sense gratification out of that one. You know, and in our ignorance we're thinking, yes, I'll enjoy a relationship with him or her, you know. And now get some sense gratification, but it's all so frustrating. But a devotee, when he approaches somebody, actually even the ruffians feel no, even the Mongol boys, what do you call them? Even the Mongol mob. I was told we had a temple one time near the Mongol mob, and we lived peacefully, side by side, right? Because they didn't feel any, devotee doesn't challenge anyone. As is stated, the six Goswamis, Dira Dira Jana Priyo Priyakaro Nirmat Saro Pujito. They were like an ocean of love of God. They were popular both with the gentle and with the ruffians because they were not envious of anyone. They were nishkama, freed from material desire, shanta, peaceful. So therefore, when they approached, people knew they were just coming to give. They were Goswamins. They just had a little loincloth on and a begging bowl. So they're just coming forward. My dear sir, please take it. Take Krishna. Oh, you don't want anything from me? Oh, you can give a little donation to help with the printing. We have to print these books, so you give some little donation like that. Huh? That's the expertise of a Sankirtan devotee. Actually, a devotee is so good that people, they enjoy giving to Krishna. That's the beginning of spiritual life. The beginning of spiritual life is to enjoy giving to Krishna. Material life means try to keep it from Krishna. It's for me, not for you. But spiritual life, what is spiritual life? Spiritual life means to give everything to Krishna. So the beginning is, the perfection of spiritual life is atmanivedanam, giving everything to Krishna. So what is the beginning of spiritual life? Starting to give to Krishna and liking it. They don't like to serve in the material world because of these lusty relationships which are selfish and frustrating. People become frustrated serving in the material world, but serving is the natural condition of the living entity. So we have to teach them how blissful it is to serve Guru and Gauranga, how satisfying it is. So Sankirtan, that's their first contact with Krishna. When you go out on the street, as I said the other day, that is the most important day in their life. We always remember that. When you're approaching somebody, we're going through so many people every day, liberating Lakshmi, or giving books, or giving out invitations, or whatever type of sankirtan you're doing. That's the most important day of their life. You have to remember that. And you have to make the experience of giving to Krishna like it is, bhakti yoga. So sankirtan devotees are very expert like that. You know, they attract people by their personal selves, by their purity, by their enthusiasm, by their knowledge, and by presenting Prabhupada's books or requesting a donation, whatever the case may be. And then they say, well, you just, you know, You give what you can. You try to help. So a successful sankirtan exchange is such that a person, sure, I'd love to give, be happy to give, I'd like to, you know, is that enough? Now that money is the honey in the material world. It's like their blood. For a karmi to give up his money, which he's using for his sense gratification, it's like, you know, like lots of times, I don't know if you have this here in New Zealand, but in other parts of the world, they have these blood mobiles, whatever you call them. You give your blood, right, for, you know, people, they need blood, a blood bank. So whenever I used to walk past those things, I go, am I going to give my blood? You know, stick that needle in there and take out my blood? So karmis are like that. They don't want to give their money because they have it calculated down to the last cent how they're going to enjoy in the material world. So if you can liberate that Lakshmi, then that's very nice. And if you can liberate that Lakshmi and they enjoy doing it, that's first-class sankirtan, like we discussed yesterday. Prabhupada said, if you go up to a person and you agitate them and they go away frustrated, that's not good. But if you go up to them and you make the experience of Krishna consciousness like it is, a very wonderful experience, and that is first class. And that's why sankirtan devotees have to be so expert. Because we're always giving. We don't want to cause any distress. So what to speak of, you know, not causing the distress? A devotee, he's para dukkha dukkhi. He's very aggrieved to see the sufferings of others. He'll go to great expense to make sure that others... Because what does he have to lose? A karmis, they don't like to take risks because they'll lose everything. But a devotee, he'll take all risk because he already has everything. And he's not going to lose it. That's Krishna consciousness. A karmi is they don't like to take a risk because they make a material calculation, you know, or they won't take it until they've got everything. But a devotee, he'll take all risks because he has nothing to lose. In fact, by taking that risk, he pleases Guru Gauranga even more. Preaching, you have to take some risk. There's some danger out there. But a devotee is not afraid to take that risk because he knows the Lord is always there to protect him. And Krishna says, one who is preaching my message, there's none more dear to me, nor will there ever be one more dear to me than him. So devotees are fearless. It's actually described here in this verse. Abhayam, fearless liberation, atmana, the conception of the self. Devotee is fearless when he goes out and preaches, when he engages in activities, because he knows the Lord is there. So he'll go to great expense not to cause any distress to other living entities, just like Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was a Namacharya. He took all risk to preach the holy name. As a result, he was arrested. And the Muslim guards, they beat him in 21 marketplaces. And generally, in those days, that was the typical punishment for someone where it was required. So they would beat someone in, you know, two or three marketplaces, Prabhupada said, and that was about all you could last. But Haridas Thakur, he was beat in 21 marketplaces and still going strong. So the guards, they became in distress. Haridas, we are trying to beat you to death, but you are not dying. And if you don't die, do you know what will happen to us? The chief of the Muslims, Qazi. The Qazi will take our heads off. So please die. So Haridas Thakur, para dukkha dukkhi. Just see. This is para dukkha dukkhi. He doesn't want to cause distress. Oh, you're in distress. Oh, the Chan Qazi will cut off your heads. Okay, therefore I'll die. Don't be in distress. He was a great mystic. Pure devotees possess mystic powers. So he went into deep samadhi, deep trance, in the mood of, you know, Sri Krishna Sankirtan. I don't want to cause distress to you. All right, I'll die. So when he went into trance, and in trance like that, they thought, oh, whew, he's dead. And they threw his body in the river. And his body floated down the river, and then eventually he came back to external consciousness. Well, Prabhupada gives us an example of a devotee who doesn't want to cause distress to anyone. another example of a devotee who doesn't want to cause distress to anyone is Vasudev Das. You know the story from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vasudev Das, he had these oozing sores all over his body, and he had maggots, or worms living in the in the source, living off the source. So Prabhupada said he was so, of course these are extreme cases. And tolerate the heat and cold by hearing of devotees like this. You don't have to like exactly imitate, you can't imitate great souls, but we can take their inspiration from their example. So here he's got these worms and the maggots were falling off his pussy sores, and oh you poor thing, you've fallen off my arm and you have nothing to eat. Here, get back in there now, come on. Oh, come on, you guys. Come on. Are you hungry? Okay, come on. There you go. Have a good feast. You know, I don't want to cause you any distress. You know, not. I mean, my. You know, it may be nicer for me if you go away, but for you, I don't want to cause you any stress. So get back on there now. Have a good time. So this devotee, Vasudeva, he was actually a liberated soul. Obviously, either he was a madman or he was a liberated soul. So then he heard, oh, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to South India. And actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying at the house of Kurma. So, he went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He completely detached, you know, from material existence, a liberated soul. He wanted to see Mahaprabhu. When he got to the house of Kurma, Mahaprabhu had left. So he's saying, oh, Mahaprabhu has left. I'm so unfortunate. But Mahaprabhu, being omniscient and omnipotent, he could understand the heart of this devotee. So he returned to that spot. And what did he do? He gave him a big embrace, appreciating his Krishna consciousness. And when he gave him a big embrace, those sores and that leprosy, as described by Krishnadas Kaviraj, that his leprosy and his distress, they went to a far distant place. Very poetic way of putting it. His distress and his leprosy, they went to a far distant place. You know, so Vasudev, he was very, he was very thankful to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he was, you know, a little bit afraid that he would become proud. Here's a devotee, he gets mercy, he gets so much mercy, he gets so many qualifications. Instead of immediately becoming, oh yes, just see. He's becoming, oh, but what if I become proud of my good fortune? So he expressed his mind like that to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have given me your mercy, but now the only danger now, I've become freed from this disease. My only thought now is that I've received so much mercy from you that I may become a little proud. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him two instructions. Do you know what those instructions were? Right? Do you know that, or you just said that? You know, yeah, he said, you should chant Hare Krishna and you should preach. He said, if you incessantly chant Hare Krishna and you preach, he said, you won't become proud. So Mataji asked the question the other day about householders, you know, how we're in a particular situation where, you know, we're surrounded by husband, by home, by family, by household paraphernalia. How do we, like, stay Krishna conscious? So the same instruction, you chant Hare Krishna and you preach, because that creates the transcendental atmosphere. We can live in a huge palace and have millions of dollars and not become bewildered if the transcendental atmosphere is always there. And what is that transcendental atmosphere? You chant the holy name and you preach the holy name. Then things will always stay pure. That is the proper form. So he was afraid of becoming becoming proud. So the opposite of becoming proud is humility. And humility is an absolutely necessary quality for a devotee. So one time, Srila Prabhupada, did I tell you this story? How he was sitting with Dr. Kapoor? He was sitting with Dr. Kapoor, who was also initiated by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. His godbrother, when Prabhupada was a householder, he was still in the pharmaceutical business. So they were sitting together in Amnabad. And Prabhupada, he said to Dr. Kapoor, he said, "Do you know, I have found the formula for love of God. I know how to mix it. I know the formula." So Dr. Kapoor was, you know, thinking along the lines, as Prabhupada was a pharmaceutist, that, you know, maybe he'd found some kind of chemicals, you know, in the laboratory, like this, you know, for making love of God. So Prabhupada said, "I found the formula for making love of God." And Dr. Kapoor looked up at the shelf and all the bottles, and he said, "Abai, what is it?" So Prabhupada said, "I know the formula, but I can't apply it. Therefore, I'm not yet successful." So Dr. Kapoor said, "Well, you tell me, we'll try to mix it, and, you know, we'll take it, and we'll become love of God, Krishna Prema." So he said, "Tell me." He took a pen, he said, "Tell me, I'll write it down." So Prabhupada said, "Okay, you ready?" He said, "Yes, what is the formula?" Looking at all the medicines, Prabhupada said, "Trinad api sunichina torapi sahisan amanina amanina kirtani yat sadahari." Dr. Kapoor put down the pen, he smiled, "Hare Krishna." So, well, one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw on the street, more taller than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respect unto others, and not expecting any respect for ourselves. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So this Vasudeva Das, he was afraid of pride, because pride we cannot advance in devotional service, but humility is there, then we can make proper progress. So that's a nice pastime of Vasudeva Das. Now there's another Vasudeva mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and that is also in direct relationship to Srila Prabhupada's purport today. Prabhupada said a devotee sees no one as his enemy, and he gives the example of Jesus Christ, who had no enemies, yet they crucified him. So Prabhupada said the demoniac are always present, and they find fault even in saintly persons. But nevertheless, a saintly person never becomes angry with them, and he glorifies Jesus Christ like that. As we know, Jesus Christ, he was a great preacher. But when he was crucified by the people, what is his famous statement? "My dear Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So again, tatikshava, tolerant. Devotee goes out to preach. Now, as I told you the story the other day of the doctor I punched in the nose, you know, a devotee, he simply sees them as being influenced by them. They're mad. They're our brothers and sisters, but they're under the influence of the material energy. They've gone crazy. So we don't take personally their actions against us. Whatever they say is total illusion. Whatever philosophy they have, whatever point of view, whatever way of life they have, whatever actions they take, it's all under the influence of the material energy. Therefore, we see beyond that. We see, "Oh yes, you're in disease condition, my dear sir, my dear brother. So I will preach to you the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and bring you to the healthy condition." So therefore, that's how a devotee sees everyone equally. So that's why Jesus could say, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Because he was the perfection of a Vaishnava. One time Brahma said, "Jesus Christ, he is our spiritual master." But in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada goes even deeper into this understanding that a devotee doesn't want to speak of not causing distress. He's concerned about the distress of others in the pastimes of Vasudeva Datta. So Vasudeva Datta, one time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting around glorifying his own devotees. He was glorifying Murari Gupta and different devotees, just like we did last night. We were talking about the different Vaishnavas. And by hearing about the activities of the Vaishnavas, our hearts became purified, right? We didn't become envious. "Oh, he's getting glorified, and, you know, what about me, you know?" And then we had to stand up, right? When you all stood up, you were all embarrassed, you know. "Oh, I wanted to go through this, you know. I don't want to, you know, but don't speak about me." This is a Vaishnava. But when somebody else, "Yes, yes, say more, say more, say more." This is Krishna consciousness. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he imbibed this principle because he liked to glorify his devotees. There's many instances of his glorification of Haridas Thakur and Murari Gupta. And that's the Vaishnava etiquette, the Vaishnava principle, and it's a true one. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began glorifying Vasudev Datta and exemplifying this principle, Vasudev Datta, of Trinada Pisini Chinna. He said he didn't want to be glorified. He didn't want it personally to be glorified. He wanted others to be glorified. So just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started glorifying Vasudev Datta, he said, "My dear Lord, I have one request." And he interrupted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Yes, what is it?" And Vasudev Datta, who was described as universal love personified, he said, "My dear Lord, I'm only concerned with all these sinful living entities who are suffering in this material world. I want you to transfer all their karma to my head. And I will suffer perpetually in hell, but let them be liberated." Now, perpetually means eternally. He was willing to go to hell and suffer for the sins of all living entities. And Prabhupada points out the difference between Lord Jesus Christ and devotees like Haridas Thakur and Vasudev Datta, who are ready to suffer for other living entities. Jesus Christ, who's mentioned in the purport, Prabhupada said he was willing to suffer for the sins of his disciples, or those who took shelter of him. Whereas Vasudev Datta, he was willing to suffer the sins of all the living entities in the universe forever. And that's, then Prabhupada's again, Paradukhi-dukhi, he gives this statement, that's the real understanding of Paradukhi. Not only that, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "All right," he said, "on your desire it will happen, but you will not have to suffer." That's the Lord. The Lord is so merciful. Sarva dharmam padichajam, mami kam sananam braja, ham tam sarva papebhyo mokshit masaja. Krishna says, just surrender to me, I will protect you from all sinful reactions. So the devotee, the Lord is always ready to protect his devotee. So the devotee is willing to take the sinful reactions, but Krishna, he says, he will take those. Just like when Haridas Thakur was being beaten by the whips, then those whip marks appeared on the back of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So a devotee has nothing to fear. And so then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "So by your desire, they'll all be delivered." So this is a devotee. He's concerned about the distress of others. And another short story of, I believe it was King Runtidev, wasn't it? King Runtidev. It's described in the Bhagavatam that he never endeavored for anything, but by providence, things came forward, and whatever he received, he would distribute liberally, especially to the guests who came to his house. Whoever came to his place, he would give everything. So at one point, he had nothing, and it's described his family was shivering due to exhaustion and fatigue and hunger. So they fasted for 48 days, and on the 49th day, a donation came of some water and some food cooked with milk and ghee. So King Rantidev, he got down and he divided the portion up, getting ready to divide the portion up, but a Brahmin came to his house. So immediately he gave half the food to the Brahmin. He was so liberal. He gave half his food to the Brahmin. So then he distributed the rest to his family, and he had his portion. But then his portion, a Sudra came to his house. So without making any distinction, before it was a Brahmin, now it's a Sudra. Doesn't make any difference. He gave his portion to the Sudra. All he had was a little bit of water left. So then dog eaters and his dogs came to his house. And Rantidev, very mercifully, he gave the water that was left. He just had a little water left, so he gave that water. And gave everything to the water, and then it's also mentioned that Chandala came. And this way he distributed all the food and water that he had, and he was just about ready to die. But then he experienced that a rejuvenation, because actually those personalities were great demigods, Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu personally, and different demigods had come to his house just to test him, and he'd liberally given everything away. And the next shloka in the Bhagavatam describes that by doing that, he was completely free from all hunger, thirst, lamentation, and difficulty by acting in such a way. So, of course, we cannot imitate such great souls as Rantidev and Haridas Thakur and Vasudev Das and Vasudev Datta, but we can imbibe the same principle. And we can develop the same concern for those who are suffering in the material world. Actually, a devotee has nothing left to live for in this world. What we've promised, we've given up meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling, and all the corollaries. Those are the basic sinful activities, the basic principles of material existence. We have promised that we will give those up. Now, that means we've given up material life. So why stay here? If we have no business left in this world, we don't want any more sense gratification. So why stay in this world, really? But we stay in this world because we have the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach. And we are living, actually, for others. Actually, one time a Brahmana cursed Lord Chaitanya. I curse you that you will never be successful in material life. So if you said that to any ordinary person in the world, they would immediately fall into great distress. I curse you. You'll never be successful. But for a devotee, that's a blessing. So Lord Chaitanya started dancing in ecstasy. Haribo, Haribo. So that's actually, that is our life now. We've given up the other life, and now our life is totally absorbed in becoming Krishna conscious and giving Krishna conscious to others. And that, again, like we said in the beginning, that is our happiness, that is our satisfaction. If we're feeling a little bit despondent in Krishna consciousness, as we quoted yesterday, distribution is the solution. You preach. Or you read or you preach, but you preach Krishna consciousness and you'll become enlivened, because that is actually our source of happiness. The more people that we can see becoming Krishna consciousness, the more books we can distribute, the more prasadam that we can get out, the more people that we can convince, the more Lakshmi we can liberate, Sita from the hands of Ravana, the more progress and the more our happiness increases. So you can see it can increase unlimitedly, because there's unlimited conditioned souls in this material world. Even a devotee, he's willing to even renounce his spiritual sense gratification to preach Krishna consciousness. We were with Prabhupada one time in India, in Prabhupada's room. So that year, all the book distributors from all over the world had come to India. And it was a big, big, we were having seminars and book distribution, etc. So Prabhupada was sitting in his room, so he's looking around at his different men, and saying, oh yes, oh, you are here, it's very nice. And then he said, and Prabhupada was preaching on the principle, how important it is to come to India. It's so important to go to India and take shelter of the Dham and see the devotees, etc. So then he's saying, so thank you all for coming. He said, where's Tripurari? He didn't see Tripurari there. He said, where is Tripurari? And the devotee's like saying, well, Tripurari, you know, he didn't follow your instruction to come to India and, you know, take shelter in the Dham. He stayed back. And Prabhupada said, why did he stay back? And one devotee who liked Tripurari said, Prabhupada, he stayed back to distribute your books, because this is the best time of the year for book distribution in America. So Prabhupada closed his eyes and he said, thank you very much. We knew he was talking to Tripurari, because none of us had stayed back, you know. So that was Lord Chaitanya's instruction to Nityananda Prabhu. You don't come to Jagannath Puri every year. You stay in Bengal and you preach Krishna consciousness, you know. So that's a whole pastime. But so either way, going to India, I think the men are staying back this year and the ladies are going to India. Either way, it's perfect instruction. If we stay back and preach, we're properly situated. And if we go to India, take shelter of the Dham and see the Vaishnavas, we're also properly situated. Hare Krishna. A person who desires liberation from this material world should not fall under the control of anger, because when bewildered by anger, one becomes a source of dread for others. So what do you think, Prahlad? Call his mercies, he woke you up at the last moment. Any questions? Mataji?
Is that anger wrong?
You're becoming angry at what now?
Well, you become a little angry, a little frustrated because you think, why are these devotees so enthusiastic to get out there?
Yeah. Well, I would say in a situation like that, then, just like we said the other day, Prabhupada said a first-class man is someone who can make a fifth-class man a first-class man. So one person can... Actually, Prabhupada quoted Alexander the Great one time. He said, divide and conquer. So the principle is that, you know, if we have some ability, we can distribute so many books. But if we can help others learn how to distribute books or give our association to them and inspire them, then that means that many more books can actually be distributed. So in that light, we should give our association to others. We should train others in distribution, because their inexpertise or their inability can be overcome by proper training. So it's a question of, we mentioned it's a question of purity, but it's also a question of training and association. So if we give our association to others and we train them how to distribute books, then they can increase, and thereby the whole book distribution will increase in general. We should think like that. Does she get angry? Well, that anger can be dovetailed by, you know, in other words, if we want to become free from that anger, then we want to see the devotees distributing. So therefore, you know, if we give training, then they'll distribute and we don't have to be angry anymore. That's the austerity of being a leader in Krishna consciousness. You can never give up, though. Yeah, sometimes it's like that. You have to keep encouraging and keep preaching. And, you know, that's the way Prabhupada was with us. He just kept, you know, prodding us. We must do this. You have to be, you know, and finally we learned, I told you this story the other day of when Narada Muni and Lord Brahma appeared in the Buri Place temple in a kirtan. And then the devotees asked Prabhupada, you know, what was Narada Muni doing? I said, he was just laughing at you because you're such Kali Yuga devotees. So that's our situation. And one time the devotees threw a devotee out of the temple. He was doing nonsense. Of course, this is not to like condone anyone's nonsense in the temple, but it threw the devotee out and they wouldn't let him come. So then when Prabhupada came to the temple, he snuck back in, and he snuck into Prabhupada's room, and he began, you know, revealing his mind to Prabhupada. And then the devotees came in and, hey, this rascal, how'd you get back in, you know? And they said, Prabhupada, he's, you know, time and again and again and again he's doing nonsense, you know. They said, again and again and again he's doing nonsense. So Prabhupada looked up and he says, yes, but you must understand that Lord Chaitanya is very, very, very merciful. Patience. All right, so this evening well, I have another slideshow if you want to see it. It's on Russia. I don't know how many times Maharaj has showed a Russian slideshow. But we won't ask for any donations, that's all right. And then we can start by telling Yugoslavia, Bulgaria. Whew, now it's different, but it was heavy then. They carry umbrellas. They used to carry umbrellas with poison at the tip of the umbrella. And there was just no question of calling you in and interrogating you. They just walk by and, you know, kind of nick you on the ankle the poison umbrella, then you die. Bulgaria. we'll go to Czechoslovakia. Rumanji. We'll go to Czechoslovakia, Prague. We'll go to the farm, different places. And then Czechoslovakia. Then we'll go to Poland. You won't believe Poland. And then we'll go to Moscow. So get your travel plans ready for this evening. Everyone booked their seats well in advance, you know. And we'll have some more preaching stories. And then we'll have a slideshow. Grantada Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shishatai Gaura Chandra ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Premanandi.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bolo! Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaur Haribo, 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 Gaura Haribo. Nitai Gaur Haribo, 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 Haribo. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Shri Shri Tai Gaur Premanande. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Puri Bhajagatarya Ashtatara Sata Sri Simad His Divine Grace Iskan Founder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Vrindaki Nam Chara Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Premza Goho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadad Har Shivasari Gorda Bhakta Rindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Saimo Kunda Radha Kunda Hiri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Mathura Dham Ki Navadvip Maya Pordham Ki Ganga Jimuna Mai Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tulsi Maharani Ki Shri Sitai Gaura Chandra Ki Shri Krishna Sankirtan Yagya Ki Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Guru Garanga. This evening we're going to recount one very nice preaching tour that we had this last summer in Europe. Of course, European summer is different than here. It's June, July, and August. So we'd, where were we? We came back from India, and we were trying to decide where we would go.
And that day, Kirti Raj Prabhu, who you may know as the GBC, Governing Board Commissioner for Russia, he called me up and said that if it would be possible to go to the East Bloc countries. Of course, now I think it's better you say unblocked, the unblocked countries. Anyway, when we went there, it was still blocked. This was last summer, just before all these different political changes took place. And so we were a little hesitant because, but we never thought about it really, what it really meant to go there. And I agreed that we could maybe go to Russia. But I wasn't so sure about going to Yugoslavia and Bulgaria and Czechoslovakia. You have to sit up. It's okay. It's all right. So we hesitated a little bit. Then he said, so you're scared? I said, no, that's not it. I just think about it for a day or so. He said, I'll call you back in an hour. So he called us back, and by that time, I was with one friend of mine, Ayodhyapati. So we agreed we'd go there. So we made a schedule. Just after a trip to Spain, we would take a train over to Yugoslavia. We would go Yugoslavia, Bulgaria, Czechoslovakia, Poland, and then Russia. So we spoke with Kirti Raj. We agreed everything would be okay. And then I called up Harikesh Maharaj, of course, who was the GBC for many, many years there before Kirti Raj Prabhu. So I told him, do you have any advice for us? He said, which country? I said, well, we're going to start, well, we'll go Yugoslavia, then Bulgaria. He said, you're nuts if you go to Bulgaria. He said, you can't go to, I said, I was in GBC there for many, many years. I never sent anyone there. He said, it's too dangerous. And I told you about the poison-tipped umbrella this morning. That's where I got that story from him. So he said, missionaries in these days, missionaries would get 20 years hard labor. Foreign missionary who came in to preach anything about religion, like, you know, Christianity or Muslim or whatever it would be, Hinduism, then if the police caught you, they give you 20 years hard labor. So he said, you're nuts. You know, you're nuts. So I said, gee, we already decided to go. We already agreed, you know. Anyway, we had obtained our visas, and we were preaching in, well, we were preaching in North Africa. We came up from North Africa into Spain. We took a train from Spain. It was a two-day train ride from Spain over to Belgrade, Yugoslavia. Now, Yugoslavia at this point was a socialist country. It wasn't fully communist country, Marxist-Leninist, but the devotees are preaching undercover there to a certain degree. So when we first were coming in the train, we had to dress in Karmi clothes, civilian clothes. And we came into the train station. We had our wigs on and everything, and I had a tie. I said, Ayodhya, how the heck do you tie this thing? You know? He said, don't ask me. I never had one. I said, I didn't either. I don't know how to put this thing on. Anyway, we figured it out. We pulled into the train station in Yugoslavia. Now, I once read an article in a magazine describing the communist countries, and the predominant phrase that I remembered was that the person was explaining that commies love concrete. The commies love gray concrete, and it's true. Because as we pulled into Belgrade, it was just this gray, monotone city with no advertising, no free enterprise, no billboards. It was just factories and apartment buildings. This was my first experience behind the Iron Curtain. And everybody had a similar face, a gray face with a sad look on it, and everyone was dressed in dark clothes. But we just come from Spain. It was end of summer. It was kind of a bright, jolly, you know, the Spanish people all dressed with different colors and festivities. And then we pulled into the Belgrade train station. It was like going to a Patala Loka. So I was thinking, how in the world are we going to find the devotees? Because Kirti Raj had sent a message down somehow to the temple, to the devotees that were living in Belgrade, that we were going to come visit. So all of a sudden we started pulling in. I said, you know, how are we going to find the devotees? So then he said, well, I don't know. Just, you know, devotees are devotees. I said, well, that sounded pretty good. You know. So we got out of the train, you know, two Americans with our backpacks, you know, trying to like be a little incognito. You know, I looked at Ayodhya. He had this big wig, you know, big, was a little bit like this, you know. My tie was crooked, and I had these, you know, one blue sock, one. I couldn't find any Karmi clothes. Didn't have any Karmi clothes for, you know, 20 years. And then I've got to like all of a sudden in Spain, you know, find, hey, Prabhu, can you give me a pair of socks, you know? So Bhakti Soso gives me a pair of his socks, one blue one, one white one, you know. So I put the, you know, we pull into the train station, and, you know, then we're walking down the way there, and I said, you know, how are we going to find the devotees? He said, well, just look. So where there, you know, hundreds, thousands of people at the train station, you know, going in and out. And I'm looking, you know, I mean, he's going to be dressed in karmic clothes too. How's this all going to work? So finally, way at the end of the platform, I'm looking in the crowd, and I see this big, beaming, effulgent brahmachari face, you know. And he's dressed just like us, you know, an old shirt, pair of pants that doesn't match. I said, that must be a devotee. And sure enough, you know, he was just really bright-faced and blissful, you know, and he saw me and I saw him, and it was love at first sight. So we came forward, and he said, I came up and said, Hari Bol, Prabhu. He said, shh. I said, oh, sorry, you know. A yogi said, hey, stop, you gotta shut up. We're in the, we're with the commies now, you know. I said, yeah, okay. I look real miserable, you know. So he said, okay, follow me. So we followed him, and then we got into a car. And we drove about an hour into the city. I was just looking at, I was fascinated, because I'd never been in a country like this before. I was looking at all, everything was very, you know, kind of poor and very, simple and very low standard of living. So finally we got to the temple. So I walked in and I was so surprised. A temple? I said, I thought this was like a communist social. You have a temple here? He said, yeah. So we got a temple. So we tried it. They didn't come and get us yet. So we sat down. We had a little, you know, a little program, some kirtan and some prasadam. And then, so we sat down and the temple president said, he started speaking. He said, I've never been out of Yugoslavia, he said, but I don't know what it's like for other temple presidents, he said, but I've got a lot of problems. I said, well, I used to be a temple president, I can sympathize with you. So he said, yeah, he said, but I don't know. He said, my problems are the worst. I said, every temple president, I said, what is it, Prabhu? Devotees aren't submissive, you don't have enough money, got a high overhead, you know, neighbors are complaining, you know, what went down the list, you know. The ten offenses to the, you know, the temple. So I said, no, I said, it's much worse than that. I said, geez, I said, the devotees following the regular principles here? He said, yeah, I said, it's worse than that. I said, wow, I said, get ready for this. I said, okay, I'm ready to preach to him, give him all the help we can give, you know. He said, what is it? He said, Maharaj, he said, the problem is there's so many people that want to join his temple, I have to turn them away. I said, oh, that's your problem. I said, I wish I had problems like that. No, he said, but it's really a problem. He said, this is our fourth temple. He said, every time I get a temple, you know, within 1 week, so many people are so enthusiastic to join the Hare Krishna movement in Yugoslavia that by the time I, you know, 1 or 2 weeks has gone by, we're packed full in this temple. The devotees are sleeping in the temple room, they're sleeping in the corridors, they even sleep in the kitchen. I said, wow, that's a pretty tough problem, Prabhu. Reminded me of the story of Matsya, the Matsya avatar, you know, King Priyavrata. He went out one time and he found a little tiny minnow, I think somewhere in a little pond somewhere. So the minnow was saying, my dear Lord, my dear King, said, you are supposed to protect all the praja, all the inhabitants of your kingdom. You're supposed to give protection to them. I'm a little fish. I'm in this big, big lake and all these big fish can eat me up. You give me protection. So the king, like a just king, you know, he took that little fish and just the fish, just fit it in the palm of his hand in some water, you know. So he took it home, he put it in a little bowl. And he woke up the next morning and the fish had grown to the size of the fish bowl. He said, that's very unusual.